We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, we're going to go right to him. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fins podcast, joins us this morning. Got a few things to talk about and a little bit in the draft as well. All the stuff that Kyle does such a great job with. And I start with this, Kyle, as we start the morning. With a new kickoff returns, and looks like there'll be two return guys in that area. We've had a lot of fans going, oh, we got to put Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Raheem and all our speed guys back there. And I went, no, no, and no. I don't even want Achan back there, to be honest. How do you feel about return guys? Is everybody now adjusting to the new kickoff return?
Well, I guess what's interesting about it is part of the support for this style of kickoff is the reduced risk for injury. So I'd say this, if I was another team and Miami had any one of like their eight options back there, I'd just kick the darn thing out of the back of the end zone and give them the ball at the 30. And I would just call it a day. Because if you did put those guys back there in that type of format, I think it would be a big advantage for Miami. There's obviously a risk assessment that's involved there, that the appeal with the new rules is it does reduce the risk of injury in those settings, but Tyreek Hill specifically, Jalen Waddle specifically, those guys, so much of an identity of what you were. You saw what it looked like when one of those guys was
exactly
interrupted in December last year.
There,
and that's where you have a hard time. You want to use those reps for those guys in where they're going to have the most impact on your offense.
Yeah. So we're just looking as everybody now has kind of filled in the roster of what they've added to the team so far, and I'm sure you've done a little bit of that yourself. So I kind of looked over at that left side of that offensive line, and I go, wow, we got Teron Armstead and Isaiah Wynn back at the left side. Those are two guys really played well. The problem is they missed like 17 games between them. Does this put – how much importance on finding a guy that can play left guard, left tackle, maybe combination? Where does that on the priority list coming up next month?
Yeah, I don't think you can be done. I think it would be irresponsible to just call it a day and say, oh, well, we added some competition. We added another swing guy in Jack Driscoll. Liam Eichenberg can play all the spots on the line. Teron Armstead, you're going to be locked in at your left tackle. Isaiah Wynn could play left tackle if then you put somebody else in at guard. Like, their whole DNA has been positional flexibility. I think it's a good thing, but I think you need one more definitive piece. And I think the Goldilocks situation would be you come out of the NFL draft, some flexibility early in his career is on the board for you at pick 21. You would draft that guy. He would get in your starting five because he's got guard flexibility early in his career, and then as you transition from Teron Armstead, he could step in and be your left tackle long term.
I got to ask you, is Rob Jones, who played a lot of football last year and at times really looked great, would you trust Rob Jones to come back and be a starter if I said he was going to start at right guard? I'm not saying it'll happen, but if it did, how would you feel about that?
I'd be a little disappointed. Rob's a good developmental young player who I think is a really valuable piece for being a fairly high-floor backup offensive lineman, but in this system specifically, I don't think his best traits really align with what Miami's identifying pieces of what they want in an offensive lineman are, thinking about explosiveness off the ball, getting out in space, getting up on the second level. Those are things for Rob Jones that I just think with his skill set, it's a little miscast for you to say, yeah, we're good with that being a starting profile within our offensive line. Now, I think if you need a player that can get you through a tough stretch, can get you through a month of being a backup offensive guard, I certainly think there's worse options that you can have. But if they were to just evaluate the tape that he put out last year and say, yeah, we're good with rolling with Rob as a starter, I'd be a little surprised.
Yeah, and then switching over here on the other side of the ball, I want to ask you, with the group of defensive tackles that they have, and they have signed a bunch of guys to play with Zach Sealer, no question about it, but is there anybody in this draft that's clearly better and upgraded that has potential to be really good that you trust in the first or second round of this draft?
I'll be honest. I think this interior defensive tackle class is a little bit better than I thought it was as I've kind of gotten into the deep dive on some of these guys. The two consensus first-round names that you'll hear are Byron Murphy, the second from Texas, who's about 6 foot tall, 300 pounds. He's got requisite arm length, but he's got a really nice upside as a pass rusher, but he's probably a better run defender right now than he is pass rusher, and he's got the leverage because of his frame. So that kind of profiles similarly. He's not as big or as tall as Christian Wilkins was when Christian Wilkins came out of Clemson, but there's some parallels as far as what I think he is when he comes into the league versus what I think he could eventually become. And then Johnny Newton from Illinois is the other one who is a lot more of a disruptive penetration style player. So those two guys, I think consensus will probably go top 25 somewhere. And then beyond that, you have some other guys, Kevondre Sweat, the other Texas guy, is a little bit more of a nose tackle type, but has a lot more athleticism in his frame at 360 pounds than you might expect. And then you get into like Michael Hall from Ohio State, Chris Jenkins Jr. from Michigan. He's another 300-pound type player who I think really blossomed this year and played really, really well in the national championship game. He was one of the key impact players in the trenches to help Michigan beat Washington in the national championship. So those guys on day two, guys like Hall from Ohio State, guys like Jenkins from Michigan, I don't think are bad quote-unquote consolation prizes if you go a different direction in the first round.
If you don't get Odell Beckham Jr., which, by the way, I still feel pretty good. I guess Buffalo's jumping in this thing heavily too, but I'm looking, if the money's close for a lot of reasons, Odell looks like a Miami guy to me. I don't know about for you, but if that doesn't work, how important all of a sudden is it to find one of these wide receivers, maybe potentially in the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, I think having – when you have to go drop back passing and when you have to be in 11 personnel, Miami's offense was so efficient in early downs because they went into 21 personnel, which is two backs, one tight end. They weren't really a big 12 personnel team. We'll see if that changes this year with the addition of Jonnu Smith. But when you go with 11 personnel and your obvious passing situations, the whole objective last offseason was find somebody else who can win some one-on-one. And they didn't get it, whether it was Cedric Wilson getting 55% of the snaps on the season, whether it was Braxton Berrios, who I don't mind being back. I think he's a nice complementary piece to the offense, and it looked like in the first month of the season last year, he might have some really good contributions to the team, and then he kind of fell off. So who's that guy going to be? Is it Eric Ezukama? I think that's what makes it tough, is they internally know what they think about Ezukama, but I think it would be irresponsible to just put all your eggs in that basket. Yeah. So I do think that you're going to need another body to at least compete as the floor of what that player can be for the third target in your 11 personnel packages, because it needs to be a better option than what it was last year.
Kyle, I was reading something last night. I don't know if this is true. We've never had four quarterbacks go in the first four picks of a draft. We've had three a bunch, but never four straight quarterbacks. Is that true?
I believe that is a factual statement, yes.
So could that happen this year?
Yeah, New England's the key. New England's got to look themselves in the mirror, and they've got to ask themselves, is picks 11, 23, and a first-round pick from Minnesota this year – or versus the third overall pick this year versus the third quarterback who's available, what's more valuable to us with where we are at this juncture as a football team? I know what my answer would be, and I would take the picks and run. in which case you would have Arizona then that doesn't have the 3 first-round pick offer after they traded down last year with Houston and got a bunch of extra draft capital. So they're already stockpiling draft capital, Arizona is. But if I were New England, I would want that opportunity to do that versus having the third guy in this year's class. If they decide otherwise, Arizona showed you their hand last year when they traded out all out of a spot to get extra draft capital and 3 first-round picks from Minnesota. The top 50, top 75 in this year's class is really, really good. So you're feeling really good if you don't need a quarterback, hypothetically, or if you decide not to get a quarterback, getting, say you get a day 2 pick too, right? So you get 11, you get a really good, you might get the second best offensive tackle in this class, you might get the best pass rusher in this class, you might get the best corner in this class. 23, you're going to be in that range where you have the second run of wide receiver. That's probably going to start to happen. So if you need a wide receiver, there's probably going to be leftovers. That's probably where the interior defensive line guys are going to start coming off the board. Like, there's a lot you can do with that. So for New England, that's the question they have to answer for themselves. My answer would be to take the picks. It doesn't sound like they are consensus with what they want to do, so they'll be the team to watch.
Yeah, wow, okay. Hey, it seems to me we still need another safety. I know everybody's talked about Poyer and how good he is, and he's still got a lot left in the tank, but don't you agree we need another safety that can play during the year? Seems like we play a lot of safeties. What do you think?
I'll be honest. I would take the money they're trying to give Odell Beckham, and I would give it to Quandre Diggs. And I know I'm not the only person in the Dolphins space who covers a team who feels that way. But Quandre Diggs from Seattle, watching a ton of tape on Jordan Brooks, Quandre Diggs shows up big every single week on tape. And I think if you had Quandre Diggs paired with Jordan Poyer, paired with Javon Holland, with the versatility of the corners, that would be a really, really exciting DNA for a back seven. And safety market's cheaper than wide receiver market. Let's just be completely honest. Like Odell, when you put in stipulated money, that might be a $10, $11 million max value. I think that the base value of that's probably going to be half of that. But the ceiling for that contract is going to be higher than a safety contract, where you're seeing guys like, I believe Kevin Byard signed for 2 years, 15, so like 7.5. Like it's cheaper to go get an impact safety. And you got two of them out there between Justin Simmons and Quandre Diggs. I think Diggs would be the better complement to what the Dolphins have, but I agree wholeheartedly. Another safety, specifically with Poyer coming in as a guy who is on the tail end of his career, I would want another guy and another guy that could be an impact player.
That's an all-in move again, man. I like that. That's good stuff. Hey, as always, Kyle, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Joe. Good chatting with you.
All right, Kyle Krabs, host of a Locked On Fence podcast. Just what a teaser, man. What a teaser that is right there. All right, so we've got a lot more stuff to get to and a big day here. Baseball opens up tonight as the Marlins 4-10 start, by the way, not tonight. Pirates are in town for a 4-game series. Jesus Luzardo on the mound tonight with that nasty, filthy stuff that he's throwing right now. And they'll be home for 7 games. So if you haven't been out there, it'd be a good time to catch one of those games. They got a lot of specials we'll be telling you about, too, to make it even better for you and your family to get more for your dollar and hopefully go out there and enjoy yourself a little bit. The Heat back in action tomorrow night against Portland at home, and the Panthers and Islanders tonight up in Broward County as well. And Panthers got to get a rolling, man. Got to get some wins here and keep this thing going with a chance to be the number one seed in the East. But right now, I want to talk to you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Yeah, never gets old. Talking about a guy that's been around for more than 30 years helping people. Hey, we've been through a lot of times, right? Low rates, high rates. Well, we're on that second part right now. Boy, I'll tell you what, high rates are crazy right now, and a lot of people are really, really struggling. They need cash, man. They need cash. And interest rates are high, high insurance rates. HOA fees have gone up. Some of these HOA fees have doubled. And a lot of folks are just running into some serious credit card problems. So they're running debt up on that credit card at 28 to 30%. Boy, I'll tell you who's really struggling, the condo group out there really, really struggling as you get older, going, how in the hell am I going to make it through retirement like this? Let Mike Okocie relieve some of that money stress, get that credit card paid off for you. Also want to talk to people about a potential, as we get older, the reverse mortgage. More popular here in South Florida than ever. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. Get that equity out of your home and have a place to stay. Not a bad way to go, especially if you could really use that money right now. Debt consolidation is always an issue for people. And with all this debt, with all the things we talked about, insurance, HOAs all rising, Mike Okocie wants to help you, and he can. So find out. He's got creative things to work for you. And his bottom line is to save you money and make your life more affordable every month. That's what I tell everybody about Mike Okocie at Choice Mortgage. He has no life. He's always working 7 days a week. Call or text him, 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730, MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Odyssey's an equal housing lender.
Who knows?
Nothing messes up tennis, man.
Well, rain does. Yes, it does.
No, but that's why it can't happen. Can't happen around Hard Rock Stadium. You can't have that.
They put a roof over that tennis court for you there?
No.
No?
It's like very expensive. Be very expensive, dude. Probably not going to happen. No. But I like it the way it is. It's fine. Hey, so anyway, we've got all – by the way, what the hell's wrong with Draymond Green? It's crazy.
He needs more counseling.
So – you know, you get the first technical, and the guy goes, hey, man, walk away, and you keep it going, and you stay in the guy's face. You know, those guys are going to lose it too. They're going to say, hey, man, you're gone. I'm not going to sit here and put up with this, of you doing this, especially because I've seen your act, and you don't stop. And honestly, were you a little surprised? We didn't talk about this. Were you a little surprised? He grabbed Patty Mills around the neck, and John Crotty and Eric Reed did a really nice job on it about, you know, showing it. I thought it was going to be
I thought he was going to be tossed too.
Yeah. And they didn't say anything about it. It was like, no big deal. And I was like, okay. And the next damn night in Orlando in the first few minutes, he loses it again. So he's really good at, like, in the middle of, like, his flop where he kind of throws his arms around. But that arm always seems to go around the neck.
I don't know. Steph, was he crying last night?
He was crying, man.
I don't know. Was he really?
Yeah, he was crying.
Like, I don't want to believe that he was crying out there on the court because Draymond got tossed. Like, that, you know.
What do you think it was?
I don't know.
I think he was
something
just
in his
really,
eye, maybe. But
I think he's really disappointed. And it's a great question because I saw it because I read the article and I watched it. And they slowed it down. He was crying.
But what did people think was going to happen? He was going to go and meet with a counselor for a few weeks, and he was going to come back and not be a dirty player anymore? The guy has made a career being a dirty player.
When a guy stands in front of the team, said, I've had counseling, I'm guessing he met with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, said, hey, guys, I let you down. I was going through some stuff. I've got some things I'm working on. So he knows the mental health part, right, because he's their friend. And friends tell friends. And I think when he saw him, like, Steph saw what happened the night before. And I'm sure he's going, man, we got lucky. And then, like, in the first 4 minutes for a guy to lose it, I don't think anybody's mad at the official. Like, oh, the official could let it go. It's like, yeah, Draymond will beat him up emotionally, mentally all night. So I think he was really hurt. I think he was hurt because he cares about – I think he really cares about that guy.
I think that league, who obviously has a lot of problems, really needs to find a way – to get players to stop berating the officials the way that they do.
Yeah, but
I think what Kelly Oubre did.
Can you stop doing with the whole thing?
So,
we're talking about
so
Draymond.
But it's not. It is a whole thing. What Kelly Oubre did last night, you saw the Sixers game, and he got fouled at the end, and the officials missed the call. And
he may
a lot
get
of
suspended
times not
for that.
Gonna, he may get suspended. He should get tossed out of the league for that. Guy actually goes and points at each official and says, you're a bitch. And by the way, you also said your dad is a bitch, your grandma's a bitch, apparently,
okay,
to the official.
That's not good. There's no reason to bring dad and grandma into this.
But then, like, the best is when he goes afterwards and he said he's a man of God and he wants to apologize and I don't do
that.
No,
that doesn't fly with me. You went too far.
Come on, man.
That's too quick to forgive somebody with God. No, and a man of God.
Don't throw that out there. But look, man, they got to do something about this because this sets a horrible example for the kids that are watching this sport.
I don't know about that.
You cannot have guys running after. First of all, he flipped them off while he was on the ground. And then to make matters worse, you have the coach who's supposed to be the level-headed professional who's running after the officials like a lunatic. You can't have these scenes anymore, man. It's not okay.
I think you've seen other – I know you're short-minded here this morning. I think we've seen other coaches go after officials after games.
I understand, but it's not – it doesn't make
it
okay.
Stuff's gonna, in heated stuff, Woody. Stop with the third-grade stuff.
Stop. Oh, really? You think it's okay what Kelly Oubre did last
night? No, it's not right. But you just throw this whole thing out like everybody's a third grader and you threw coaches into it. Like, yeah, coaches are going to be pissed off after games on behalf of their team. You'd rather have your coach do it than the players out there looking like a bunch of dummies saying stuff. I mean, that stuff, yeah.
I think officials at all levels, you know, high school officials and stuff, have issues now with people getting physical with them. And I don't think it's a good look for guys playing at the highest level getting paid that kind of money to go after those guys like that. It's just my opinion.
Okay.
And you can scream and yell however you want about it, but I don't think it's a good look.
Since you're
for those
such
guys.
A man and worried about the kids so much today, it's great.
Well, no, I think it's a situation, Joe. I mean, you know that officials are getting you know, like having problems at all levels. Especially like you look at some of these high school officials. We've had stories all over the place of guys getting attacked.
Yeah. Bring the last one you remember.
I think it's a bad situation. And it's at that level for those guys to act that way is just it's bizarre.
Like a guy after the game to follow his coach and going around pointing at guys and calling them names is terrible. I think the Draymond thing, that's how we started. Next thing you went off 200 different avenues there. But Draymond Green has got serious issues, man. I mean, serious issues. And I was watching Steph's response last night when I saw it and again this morning, and he was – really upset. I saw Steve Kerr come over and put his arm on his back. I think that team is just like,
Had enough?
I think they're like, well.
Draymond's not very good either. That's the other issue.
Well, stop. Like, I mean, he's got something he does well.
Which is what? Hard fouls? Playoff fouls?
Man, it's just all the other stuff. But no, he doesn't score 20 a night, but not everybody scores 20 and can have an impact on a game. But there's just stuff that's like.
Texter here, 561, says the NBA should have zero tolerance for yelling at officials during the game but allow players to speak their mind in a calm, collected manner at the press conference after the game. That's fine. I agree with that.
Well, first of all,
I don't like that they fine guys. Like, you should be able to talk about the game afterwards. Now, do you have to include, you know, smashing the officials? No, but you should be able to say, like, something wasn't a foul, something shouldn't have been called.
Things are going to get heated, man. By the way, this is not new. If you're making it sound like Reggie Jackson and guys in the old days didn't, Pete Rose didn't go crazy. I know you guys, you're not old school, and I get it. You're more about what's going on now. If you don't think some of those guys went crazy, you don't think the bad boys went crazy in Detroit.
That doesn't make it right.
I know, but you act like it's something that's going on only right now. This has been around. This is not new. And you're hitting all this stuff like this group of guys are like really bad human beings And I'm like, yeah, I kind of remember a lot of other guys doing this, too, and jumping in guys' faces.
By the way, I think a lot of the stars, I think LeBron does it way too much. The complaining, the crying to the officials. I think it's bad.
The whining and complaining is a little different, right?
But to just, go after these guys.
Are you just going to put this all together to make your
to
point?
To go after an official like that and you know,
that was
pointing in their face, calling them names like that is not an okay. It's just
not
acceptable, to be honest.
But all the guys that whine from what's going on with Luka and Dallas to LeBron complaining about calls, I mean, that's a little different situation, right? Putting their arms up and complaining and jogging back on defense, they didn't get a call. Is that a little different maybe? Or
yeah.
Are you putting it all?
No, that's fine.
Okay, all right.
I just think it'll be, you know, when you see a high school kid do that after a game, because he saw Kelly Oubre do it in an NBA game, and we go, where does this kid learn that from?
Well, I hope before you do that, you hope guys are smart enough to know, like, just because he did it, it's not right.
Okay.
So now you think, so let me get that right. So some, you said some high school kid watched that last night and goes, you know what? I think I'm going to do that. I haven't done that one yet. Next time,
no, maybe
I'm going
to
go around.
Next time he gets screwed on a call.
God, Woody, you're out there today, bro. You're seriously, you're.
No, I think it's a great look for an NBA player to run on the court after the game and confront the
officials.
Thought
it was terrible.
Like he's going to lunge
at him
and attack
him. Kick
him
out of the game, but you're carrying on about all this other shit this morning. It doesn't exist. Like you're carrying on about all this, like that some high school kid's going to watch that last night. Now he's going to go attack some guy today. Come on, man. Anyway, hey, we've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Woody, man, you're on a roll, though. God bless you, man, today. You're going to get everything cleaned up like this.
I am going to get everything cleaned
like
up.
Like everything's a brand new problem that we're going through and officiating and guys
just
going
it's
on.
It's not a brand new problem doesn't mean it's right.
No, it's not, but it's been around since you've been watching. It goes on in a lot of sports. You see guys attack umpires that don't like calls and bump into them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes it right.
Nothing makes it right, but, Woody, it's not something. You make it like something of what happened last night is brand new. It's not brand new.
You know, you spent the entire week, by the way, talking about how all these things that are changing in the NFL. You know, things do change with the times, Joe.
What's that mean, Woody? What's that?
It means things change.
Like what?
You just went through a whole list of NFL rules that changed this week.
What's that? Well, you help me out with what has.
It means
has
that
to
the game
with...
is different from when you played. Is what it means. It means that things change. It means that it's enough with these guys, you know, running after officials after a game. Show a little professionalism and be a man about it.
Okay.
Running after guys, calling him a bitch. Come on.
That was a bad look. But that's your only go-to thing. I agree. That's terrible what happened. But you've put it like the whole league and every league is doing this. And I said, listen, man, guys get hot-headed. They're going to lose it, and that's not going away. Guess what we're getting ready for? Gatorade's getting ready to blow up, and guys punching their hands on, and when they get taken out of games, they don't like calls. Welcome, baseball. Welcome back. It's going to happen. Guys are going to bump umpires because they don't like calls. Oh, that's brand new. That's never happened. Grow up. Okay. All brand new stuff. Never been around. This is just today's. No, it's been around forever. Guys been knuckleheads and bumping into guys. But the stuff last night was a bad, bad look. All right, I'll tell you what's a good look. Cliggies. Boy, I could talk about Cliggies all the time. They're on fire right now. Cliggy goes, hey, man, got these overstock factory rebates going on right now on these tricked out Cliggy's golf carts that are fantastic, the coolest golf carts in all of South Florida. Listen what they've done, man, on these last carts they started making. They're now made with aluminum frames, which means no rusting compared to their competitors. If they have, I don't think they have that. I just think their carts, for the price and what you get, nobody's even close. A tricked out Cliggy's golf cart is unbelievable. I'm telling you right now, 72 volts of pure lithium power, a 5-inch lift, backup cameras, all-terrain tires, a sweet sound system, all painted in your favorite colors if that's what you want. Safety features to make sure you and the kids are safe. 4-seaters and 6-seaters, man, they are sweet. So we got to get you up to the showroom. Visit Cliggy's Carts online at golfcartsfl.net or call 954-388-5932. The best thing you can do is go take a look at their brand new showroom today at 1751 West Copens Road in Pompano Beach and visit Cliggy. Now, hell, take one for a ride out the back. That's what I did. Cliggy's Carts, an authorized Royal EV dealer. Cliggy's Carts, that's Kliggys.
All right, before we get back to it here, our Dave and Buster's gift card giveaway is back. We've got a $250 gift card that you could win to see the tournament, Heat, Panthers, and more. To enter, go to WQAM.com/contest. Dave and Buster's, eat, drink, play, watch sports at Dave and Buster's in Hollywood.
All right, Woody, thank you. And we got 9 o'clock hour coming up here. And I want to say this, too, about this topic, because a lot of fans have fed up with, I'm guessing on the text machine, a lot of people are fed up with the act of professional athletes making lots and lots of money. But as far as it relates to your kids, we went through this. Remember the Charles Barkley days we went through, and I'm not your role model and all that stuff. And it was a hot topic on the radio for a long, long time since I remember those days. And so I like, look, man, I always say the parents need to be the role model. Like coaches need to be the role model. Like for people to put everything on and then not like the way an athlete is going to act. And I'll say this, there's a lot of really good athletes that you can during the year, the Raheem Mosterts, Jalen Waddle. There's a lot of good. Like, Dolphins got a lot of really good guys that do the right thing, play the right way, act the right way. But you're going to have turds. You're just going to have turds. So, and I'm just not going to put everybody in that same category of guys going crazy every night. Heat guys got a bunch of guys that do it the right way. Whether they're injured or not, they do it the right way. Last night, there's two guys. One guy needs help. There's no question about it. I'm guessing if the truth is known, the fact that Steph Curry was so upset, he knows a little bit more about the Draymond Green. And I'm not sticking up for Draymond. He shouldn't be playing. He's just not.
What do you mean he needs help, though? Like, I mean, he cursed out an official.
No. But like this thing goes over and over again. Like they're not going to kick him out of the league. They're not.
No, of course they're not going to kick him out of the league.
He's making – and they just, by the way, just gave him a fresh, I want to say, $90 million contract, you know, to keep the guys together and all the guys that he's the one we miss and he's the piece we need. And obviously they need a lot more than that for Golden State to get back to where they were. But the other guy, that was just – like you start saying that stuff and you're on TV. And the other part of this I really hate, when they throw out the – all of a sudden you're calling for the God card. I'm sorry, man. I know all Christians are a little different, but that ain't flying. I'm sorry. He just turned his back on you, man, for a second. Like, no, hell no. After what you just did out in front of that, that is, you know.
Want his quote, Joe?
Yeah.
This is Kelly Oubre after the game. He said, I want to apologize for losing my cool. He said, that's something I try to work on each and every day. And try to represent God in the best way I possibly can.
Well,
and
your
that
representation.
Wasn't it. I just asked for forgiveness.
Yeah, your representation. Your representation of forgiveness can't just happen. Like, you know, you can't do that. And if you really care, maybe you ought to go find those officials and apologize before you get kicked out for a few games or get heavily fined to do it. But again, Woody, there's a lot of good
guys. I didn't
mean
to get like a contentious argument with you about it, Joe.
Well,
like, I don't want it to get that way. But I will say this, and I know that, you know, the parents are supposed to be the role model, all that good stuff. I'm on board with that.
Like your kid, you're not going to have a problem with your son. Your son's not going to watch some athlete and come home and start doing something because you're involved in his life.
I understand. But
okay.
Those kids, it's easy to make an impression on them, and they love – my son loves sports, and all – people that listen to our show, their kids probably love sports too, and they follow these athletes, and they look up to them. My son met Steph the other night. I mean, he was, like, in awe.
All right, so that's a pretty good one to follow.
But you know that, Joe. You used to meet the players. You know, you talked about going opening day, and you would wait in the parking lot for Willie Mays. Like, you know, we look up to these people, even as adults. Like, you can still, you know, watch a lot of these players and still kind of look up to what they do, but...
So on your way home, I'm guessing you went, hey, you just got to see one of the greatest shooters of all time, and he's a class act. You saw how he interacts with people before he signs. He gets his role in the league. So we ought to be talking about that guy.
I'm just saying at a professional level, there should be a little bit of a better standard.
I know, Woody, but
standard,
Woody, you're like, not going to get 100% of that.
Pointing these guys, you know, standing right in front of them, pointing, sticking a finger in their face and calling them
wrong.
A bitch. You can't act that way as a professional in anything, but you know, especially as.
But Woody, you act like every guy on the team, every guy in the league's doing that.
I know that they're not, but
okay.
You know, again, I think there's a lot. By the way, I mean, I know it's a subject for another day, but there's way too much stuff going on with the officials in every sport right now.
There is.
The NFL's got the problem. I am of the thinking college football, college basketball. I'm of the thinking these guys show up to work and want to do the best possible job they can and go home to their families. They're not in this for any, you know, they don't want to fight with players. They don't want to become the show.
Yeah.
Your Teddy TV.
Yeah, well, might be a couple guys.
There's a couple.
You guys like to get a little extra in the call, see it later on. Yeah. But
by the way, man, this is important. I know we're not getting this traffic update to you. The Turnpike North, according to Total Traffic Miami here, is still closed at Atlantic Boulevard due to that crash overnight here. So Turnpike North closed at Atlantic Boulevard. Atlantic Boulevard is closed eastbound between Turnpike and Northwest 31st Street. Exit early at Commercial Boulevard. Use 441 or Northwest 31st. So I know our traffic reports this morning have not been accurate, so I just want to make sure that people at least have that here.
Where are those coming from?
I was told not here. I'm not trying to take shots. I just I don't want anyone to get stuck in that. That would
You're a caring guy today.
Talk about ruining a day.
You know what? You're a good guy about people driving and for the kids. you're really bringing it today, man. You're bringing it for sure. Yeah, listen, guy. I was thinking when we were talking during the break of some of the. I've been around Pete Rose, and I've seen the really good of Pete Rose and the really, really ugly of Pete Rose. And
did you see he commented, by the way, on Ohtani?
Oh, what did he say? No,
he said something like, "I wish I had a translator back in the day."
My Pete Rose story is one night, and he's really a good guy to me. Really, really good guy. And I got to go, and we were up at the Pete Rose's sports bar. Anybody ever was up there did real well for a while.
Yeah, in Boca, right?
In Boca. Yeah. Used to be packed.
At the Holiday Inn over
Wilt,
there, right?
And by the way, Wilt's had a place right down the street. It was.
Oh, yeah. We used to skip high school and walk over there.
It was a hot place to go to, too. And I know the wife of mine, before we got married, she and her girlfriends were all – go happy hour up there and stuff. So, a couple good places. So so he put a studio in there, a radio studio. So we go up and do shows up there. And so my parents were in town and they brought some people. I said, "Hey, Dad, you want to meet Pete Rose?" He goes, "Oh, come on, man. Are you serious?" I go, "Yeah, he's going to be here." So here comes Pete. They're sitting down and he comes over. Couldn't have been nicer. Like, just go, "Wow, this is great, man." Like, Pete. And talking to him and, it's just, there's Charlie Hustle, man. You're watching him on TV. You didn't have coverage like today to know everything about him. So back then, Pete was big on the guy brought a ball over here to him while he's standing in front of my parents. He says, "Can you sign this?" And he goes, "Did you buy it in my store over there?" And he goes, "No, I just brought it in off the street." He let the guy have it and said no. So I had to hear that going home. Like, oh, my God, what happened? Is that the way he is? And I go, I said, you get the good and bad of Pete Rose, man. You got to see the beautiful part of the way Pete Rose treated you and the kid that tried to come up and get a freebie autograph. You got to see that part, too. And so that was a. That was a hell of a topic for a while, but I love Pete Rose, man. I entertaining, fun to be around. He
seems like a good dude. Right?
I gotta tell you, he started telling stories one night, and I mean, they're guy stories because anybody knows White, his personal life. He had stories that, from wife to girlfriend, that were they were unbelievable. Even guys that were with me that were all wild at that point are going, Pete's a different level. Like, he was that – we talking about West Coast, being on the road for 7 days, 10 days. And, no, it sometimes – I got that with Joe DiMaggio one night or one day at lunch talking to Joe D, who, like, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Jeff Conine started that golf tournament with Joe DiMaggio's golf tournament, and everybody wanted to go just to get a picture or see Joe D. I mean, that was kind of Joe D was pretty damn big. And we got Joe D telling stories at lunch one day. Here's a guy talking about Ted Williams and all these guys. Like, I couldn't wait to go home and go, "Dad, you're not going to believe I just sat ate lunch with Joe D." And he was talking about Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and he's talking about all these guys and how they rank and what they can do and not do and his Yankee teams and talked a lot about Ted Williams. They were kind of the great hitters back then, and it was like, yeah. Listen, man, I jumped into sport. That stuff was fun, but make no mistake about it. Everybody's got a little dark side to them. You just hope it doesn't show on the field. I got you. Hey, we got to go to break, man. 9 o'clock hour's coming up. Atlantic Men's Clinic is going to get you up and feeling good again, if you know what I'm saying. ED and low T, man, it's serious stuff. You know what? It was funny. I got treated for low T, and I knew I had ED too. Listen, I had the combo package, and I always tell everybody they're first cousins. I want to thank Atlantic Men's Clinic. It's been almost 7 months. I go in there once a week, but I want to thank those guys for everything they said and the treatments and everything else to knock it out, get my energy level back, my sex drive back, all the things. You know what? When you have energy, you feel like working out, you feel like doing more, not sitting around gaining 20 or 30 pounds. And by the way, what it does for relationships is just fantastic. So Atlantic Men's Clinic, thank you, thank you, thank you. They have treatments with success rates well over 90%. I know ED and low T are not things men want to talk about, but it happens in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And when I go in there, I see guys all different ages, man, guys that are doing something about it and seeing results quickly. That's what I like. Schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic today. Your initial visit includes medical consultation with a Florida licensed medical provider, a T and a PSA test, and a medically advised test dose. And if the test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. I got more good news. They got 6 locations. I happen to be close to the Plantation location to go in there, but hey, they're all over the place. You've got one close to you to make it easy. Their staff is fantastic. Call them today. 877-455-7300. Do something about this dirty little secret. Get rid of it. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.